Jesus. Thank you that early in the morning our songs shall rise to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings.
Who shakes the whole earth?
Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace.
Woo!
This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
This is amazing grace.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who brings an orphan, a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules a nation with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all.
Lift you up, Lord. Thank you, God.
to you. I came here broken, you made me whole. You have been so good, you have been so good, you have been so good to me.
Let's sing it out.
You have been so good to me. I came here broken, you made me whole. You have been so good, you have been so good, you have been so good to me.
How can I thank you?
How can I thank you? There is just no way. How can I thank you? Lord, how can I repay for your kindness and your tenderness and your constant presence here with me?
He's here right now.
You have been so good to me. You have been so good. I came here broken, you made me whole. You have been so good, you have been so good, you have been so good to me. You have been so good to me. I came here broken, you made me whole. You have been so good, you have been so good, you have been so good to me. You have been so good, you have been so good, you have been so good. High in my life, oh God.
Psalm 149, that we should come to God with a shout of praise in my mouth and a sharp double-edged sword in my right hand. There's warfare. We do this. We're going to do something a little bit different, and these guys all feel weird about it. That's all right. We're going to break some of the barriers. There is not, you know, there's just sometimes it feels like there's a barrier between us and you. And I want to encourage you just to come. And we're going to, some of you, you don't have to, but if you feel like just coming and joining in worship, come and join in worship. You can get on your knees. You can clap your hands. You can lift your hands. You can fall on your face. You can stay where you are. But we just want to praise God today. Is that all right? We just want to break through that barrier, break through that wall. I invite you to be part of this. Just come and worship. Stand by the violin if you want. Stand by one of the singers and worship God. Sometimes that chair, let me just try to explain this a little bit, but sometimes that chair in front of you, it's holding you back. Sometimes that chair in front of you, it's holding you back. So you don't need to be standing behind a chair. If If you want to dance, you can dance. If you want to sing, you can sing. If you want to pray, you can pray. There you go.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come.
Ladies are going to sing. Let the ladies minister.
In this world, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than
bring you more.
Lord, for the thing I've made is all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
I'm coming back
to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Moments like these,
I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hand.
Worship God.
I lift up my hands to the Lord.
Jesus. lift you up. Our only purpose here today is to build our relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross, for your blood that you poured out. Thank you that we belong. Lord, many of us here, we spent periods of time in our life and we felt we did not belong. Thank you that now we know we do belong to you. You are a great and a mighty God, and you love us with an extraordinary love. May all the glory today be yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. Hey, happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome to Potter Sands. Praise God, it's good to worship him. I'll tell you what.
Amen.
He's an awesome God. I said this morning, he's exalted his word over all of his name. Praise his holy, awesome name. Welcome to Potter Sands. Good to have you here. It's good to be here in the house of God. Wow. A couple announcements before Pastor Stan comes up. Shares God's word. There's a men's prayer retreat, April 21st, weekend, $120. Talk to Elvin. Last year, they were sliding down a muddy slope and down to the Red Deer River to baptize some people in the river. It's a pretty exciting time there. And God really shows up at a men's meeting, I'll tell you what. He does it ladies, too, actually. Apparently. He's a non-discriminatory God, that's for sure. Yeah, he calls him, actually, I was singing that song there, and the ladies were singing, the Holy Spirit just directed me to Genesis somewhere, where God calls himself a helpmeet. That just gives me goosebumps. What else? Choir sign up for that July big meeting out at the Centrium. Talk to Elvin about that, too. And, just before, I read Ecclesiastes last night, and I was, the whole book, and this is my least favorite book in the whole Bible to read, and I was whining to the Lord about that, but he showed me some amazing revelation in it. It's pretty, don't call my word, it's Ecclesiastes is amazing. Anyway, we're going to hear a bit about prophecy in a bit, and I was just thinking of what's happening in Israel right now. It's called Aliyah. Can you say Aliyah? That God's calling his people back to Israel in unbelief right now. In between 90 and 2000, there was over 1 million Russian Jews came back to Israel. And all over the world, he's calling them back. My brother, Jan, is going down to Cuba in a couple of weeks. And the Jewish population, the Orthodox Jewish population down there, has just dwindled down to almost nothing. They're just going back to Israel. And it's so amazing. Aliyah, Jeremiah 16:14. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall be no more said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all lands whither he has driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave their fathers. He's doing that right now. Mizare Yisrael Yakabatsinu. Scattered Israel regathered. The he is implied. Praise his holy, awesome name. Pastor Stan? Wow, let's just pray. And Joyce is really throughout her neck. We got to pray for Joyce this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word's coming true to Israel, and it's going to come true to us Gentiles too. And you keep your word all the time, and you're an amazing word-keeping God. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're faithful. Amen. Father, we lift up Joyce this morning. Her neck is just really bad. Lord, we just pray for your holy, healing, heated touch on Joyce's neck. Heal her, Lord, because of your faithful love. We just ask you, Lord, as a body, to just heal Joyce. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray that you'd fill Stan with your spirit, Lord. Speak to us through your word. Glorify your name. Amen.
Amen. We sang about God's goodness. He's good. Amen? Good. We're all kind of on the same program, right? God's a good God. He loves us. He's forgiven us. He speaks to us. The worship, I just loved worshiping this morning. Love worshiping and giving praise to God and lifting up his name. And We're going to end our service with some warfare worship, so get ready for that too. Over the last little while, we've been talking a bit about the prophetic word, and that sometimes, you know, God equips us with different gifts. We're all a body, and one person has one gift, one person has a different gift, just like fingers are different from kneecaps. And one of the gifts that God does give is the gift of knowledge or the gift of revelation. That sometimes what God does is he speaks through one or two or three people from a body and they say, here's what God's saying. Here's a message. Here's an encouragement. Because generally speaking, the Bible makes it pretty clear that this should be encouraging. It should be comforting. It should be edifying. And last time we did this a couple weeks ago, we didn't get through all of them. So there's a couple more that we're going to do today. And just listening to God. And again, like I said last time, we're just learning about this. So it's okay to learn. There's sometimes some things aren't exactly, maybe they're not meant for you. Maybe what you're hearing today is meant for somebody else. And just want to find encouragement in this. So here we go. Cheryl and Vicky, you want to come up? You guys didn't get your chance last time, and we want to hear about this too. So
hello. It's really short, so no worries. In a vision, I saw a boat on dry land. No water was in sight, and it looked abandoned. So this is what God said to me about the vision. Some of you feel that I abandoned you, that I do not hear you. But like Israel, I hear your cries, and I am with you. I am with you, closer than you think. And that's all I got.
Wow. Amen. I'm just going to stop for a second, because is there anyone that, you know, that's really something you needed here today? That you feel like you've been in a desert, you feel like you've been abandoned? Yeah, thank you. So just know that this is a message for you. This is special. This is a kind of a little special gift that you get to unwrap today. God's saying, you're not in that desert. Don't think that. I'm with you, and there's a lot of water. There's an oasis coming. I love that. Thank you.
First one is for Pastor Stan and Crystal, spiritual parents of this church. The wind is at your back now, and he is going to take you higher, especially in worship. But when we were worshiping, the Lord said, this is where it's going to break. This is the place it's going to break. Amen? Yeah. So just soar with him. Another word. I'm looking at your shoes going, is it him? Some guys with brown shoes on and laces, we've got one here. Is there somebody else? Stand up, please, sir. Anybody else? Man, yeah, brown shoes and laces. Nobody else? Over there. Come on, be brave. If there's women with brown shoes and laces, come on, be brave. Stand up if you've got it. This word is for you. The Lord has seen you. Lots of fishing line around your ankles, and you're walking like this. It's been there for a long time. And then I saw this snow melting really, really fast. I don't know what that's about. And then I saw you running, and I saw you running swiftly. So whatever it is God's put on your heart, run with it. Just run with the word. Okay? Amen.
We're going to pray. So God, thank you. I know I needed to hear that, because there are some things, Lord, I know that you're laying on my heart to run with. And I thank you, Lord, that the wind is at our back, all of us. You are leading us. There's some exciting times ahead. You are a God who gives us dreams and visions. You're a God who tells us to forget the past and to move forward in the future. Just forgetting what is behind me, I press on. So we take that really as a word from you. Just encourage us today. And God, for any of us who are feeling like we've been in a desert, or we've been abandoned, or we've been just kind of wandering and we've been kind of lost, we've been taking some shots, but we keep missing the target. I just see that today too. And Lord, just remind us that you are God, you're good, you're in control. Where we've stumbled, that you're always there with your right hand to pick us up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're so good. You are amazing, God. Thank you that there's always hope. There's hope with you. And I pray today, too, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would instill that hope back into us, your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, one last thing before we open the word. I think I just switched to Mike, so he'll get me going here. Actually, I don't need him to get me going. I'm already going. And this is just a word, and this is not necessarily prophetic, but it's something that we spoke about yesterday in our leaders' meeting. We had a leaders' meeting. It's just maybe a word of, it's encouragement, but it's also warning. Be careful, body. Be careful about offense. Because we're hearing more and more about how many of us are being offended with each other. And it's just not from God. It's just, you know, really, we got to just be smart. We got to be wise. That the enemy, you know, he doesn't just try one tactic. He's going to try lots of different things. He wants to destroy us. And he's not going to be able to do that because we are Christ's church. But just if you're being offended lately, know where that source is. Know where it's coming from. And what I would say to you from God today is you don't need to be offended. You don't need to be offended. Don't. Why do you let this bug you? Whatever it is, whoever it is, you know, sometimes we get indignant about something. Don't be indignant. Just love. And it's hurting our body. It is. We need to be more mature. We need to grow up a little bit. So that, I don't mean that, you know, with a whip. I mean that in love. But let's just examine our lives and look where we're offended. And you might have every reason to say, yeah, I deserve to be, I'm offended and I have a right to be offended. You probably do. But what we learn is that we put those rights down and we hold each other's hands and we walk through this together. And I'm going to stop now because if I say more, it'll probably say too much. So, last week, when all our women were missing, except for about 15, at a wonderful women's retreat, there were like 33, 34 women out there. We had a service here still. Yeah, you can clap for that. There were some amazing things that happened there, and we're going to hear about a few of them in a few minutes too. But last week, I was leading and teaching on Psalm 77. And it's a psalm where David cries out to God, and I'm going to kind of recap it a little bit, but I'm going to do it quickly, so you have to listen fast, okay? So David's crying out to God. He's kind of in a place where we've all been before, where we go, God, where are you? What is the deal with you, God? You know, why don't you get your hands out of your pockets and do something? You know, do you still love me? I cry out to you. I don't think you're listening. I don't think you hear me. He says these words, will the Lord reject me forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Doesn't he keep his promises anymore? Has his promises failed for all time? Has God forgotten me? Has he forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? I have felt that way before. I'm assuming I'm normal. I know that's a big assumption. But I'm assuming that many of you have felt that way before too, where you go, God, it just feels like you're not hearing me. I keep praying about this, and I don't get the answer. I don't know where you are, God. And then the answer comes. Here's what David says in his answer, and some of you who were here last week, you know what the answer is. He says, and then, after I thought all of these things, then I thought, this I will appeal to. I'm going to appeal to the years of the Lord's right hand. I'm going to remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your miracles. Did you get that? I'm going to remember your miracles, God, from long ago. I will meditate on all of your works and consider all of your might. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is like you? What God is so great as you? You are the God who performs miracles. Back to the miracle thing again. So what does he say? He says, here's what I'm going to do. When I'm down in the dumps, when I'm struggling, when people are bugging me, I'm going to start thinking about God. I'm going to think about what he's done, and I'm going to recall the miracles that God has done in my life. And last week, we heard from, I think there were 9 guys that stood up or came to the front. Some came for prayer, and we just testified to the miracles of God. This morning, in a few minutes, we're going to limit this to women this time. Sorry, guys. But I want to hear, or God, we want to hear some of the things that may have happened this last weekend. But really the question is, you know, where have you seen God in your life? When has he done this miracle? And that we are learning from what Psalm 77 says. We're learning to remember things deliberately. You know, sometimes we remember stuff, but we're not even doing it on purpose, but that we are deliberately remembering. We're stopping in our tracks and we're going, wait a minute, I'm having a hard day here, or I'm struggling. I am going to purposefully and deliberately look back now at what God's done in my life. Oh, remember that? Remember when he saved me from this? Remember, I have a son or a grandson who's just about 3 years old. He's one of those benchmarks along my road or my journey. And I remember that he was a twin, and the doctors said, just let him be aborted. They told my son and my daughter, and I'll let him be aborted. He's never going to make it. He's 3 years old, and his name is Isaac, and he runs around. I'm not going to tell you all my stories again, but that's just one of those. When I see that little guy, and I give him a hug, and he loves his grandpa, he's something special. You know, I remember that is the faithfulness of God. That's a miracle. That's what God's done. He's heard my prayers. When I forget that he's doing it, I look back, and I go, oh, yeah, but wait a minute, Stan. Remember when he did this? Remember when he saved you from this? Remember when he answered that prayer? Remember when he gave you that promise? And then you go, okay, I know. I'm sorry, God. I know how great you are. I know you have not abandoned me. I know that. For the Israelites, and we'll get to this, there was one big event. It was bigger than all the others that they would always remind each other of. And it's all through Psalm 77, and that was the splitting of the Red Sea. And they would remind each other of that story. And the fathers would pass on that story to their sons, and they in turn would pass it on to their sons. And they'd say, son, let me tell you about how great Jehovah God is. Let me tell you what he did for us. The people of God, we were standing there on the shore of the Red Sea, and our enemies were behind us, and we could see the cloud of the enemies coming. And we were standing by the sea, and we didn't know what to do. God told us to keep going, but there was a big sea there. And our enemies were coming to destroy us. And God's people, the Israelites, we were in slavery for hundreds of years. We were treated badly. We were whipped. We were killed. And God was promising that he would deliver us. He said, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to save you. And so there we were. This is the story they would tell, right? There we were. We stood on the shore. And the enemy was coming, and there's no way around the sea until God said, take a step. Take one little step forward. And when Moses did that, let me tell you, my son, when our father Moses did that, and he took that step, and all the people behind him took the step with him, the seas parted. There was a wall on either side, and God's people, your people, pass through on dry ground. Yeah, hallelujah, right? And the father would go on and he'd say, and as we walked across on dry ground, as God, our great God, delivered us, as he saved us from our enemies, and as we crossed to the other side, which would be the promised land, our enemies pursued after us. They came with their chariots. They came with their horses. You tell this part of the story. And Moses then stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with strong east wind. He turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and a wall of water on their left. And the Egyptians pursued them, and all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. And during the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud at the Egyptian army, and he threw them in a confusion. Anybody want that for their enemies today? Like to see some of my enemies thrown into confusion, you know, when they're doing this? Right? I got a few enemies. I wouldn't mind them doing that. God threw the enemies of his people into confusion. Now get this. This is, in my estimation, my opinion, the funniest verse in all the Bible. This is my opinion. That he made the wheels of their chariots come off so they had difficulty driving. Yeah, I guess they would, wouldn't they? And the Egyptians said, let us get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Right now, what I'm saying is that event, that's an event that was passed on from father to his son and that son to his son. It was a reminder of God's faithfulness. It was a reminder that God delivered us from our enemies. It was a reminder that God puts our enemies into confusion. And we need that. We need that here. So I'm going to be quiet now for a bit. I know that you think that's hard for me to do, and you're not wrong. And I'm going to get, Crystal gets to go first. And what we're going to ask today is that we just do this. Why can't we just do what's in the scriptures? Why can't we just live off of some of these testimonies like we did last week? And I want to hear, we need to hear the miracles that God has done in your life. You can't go on and on and on. We can do that another day. These are for short. Here's what God did. Keep it short because we want to see a number of people get the opportunity to speak.
I just want to just recap our women's retreat. And by the way, I can ask people to say. Okay. Some of you, if you want to talk about it, like I'm just going to come and take the mic and you can tell, okay, testify. I just was praising God for it. You know, you do all this work, you put all the things together, and you're going, okay, God, this is it. This is it. This is all I can do. You got to do it. And he did it. He really did it. Wow. It was amazing. We had 33 people there, 33 women, and there were several women there who, like, I just went, really? She's coming? That's amazing. And, yeah, Sarah, can I talk about you? Can I just talk about you? Sarah here. I don't know if you know Sarah. She sits there. She's shy. She kept saying, oh, I don't think I can go. This is way out of my comfort zone. I don't want to go. I said, listen, just come. It'll be good. You're going to get to know people, and you're going to hear a word from God. And you know what? It was good. Look at her. She's smiling. and so I thank God for that. I thank God that you were able to, you stuck it out. You stayed with us, and we got to know you. And that is a big part of it. And, yeah, and God touched you. So you know what? I am grateful. I am grateful for the chance to be able, you know what? We have amazing women in this congregation. Amazing women. We do. And, you know, and we need, community is huge. God made us for community. He made us to need each other, to work together. And this little, I mean, it was only just one little thing, this women's event. But you know what? It was what God, I'm sure that God just had a smile on his face. Look at my girls. They're chatting together, they're getting to know each other. And so who else would like to say something about the retreat?
Hi, everybody. What happened to me was I got the opportunity to meet some people that do come to church, but I've never really talked to that much. So I got the opportunity to talk to these girls and enjoy their company and give them some love, and they gave me love back. And one of the girls actually today brought me this little sermon on a duck. It's really cute. it's like, oh, wow, you know, that's great. So that, yeah, and the boundaries course that we did too was excellent. You know, we all know about our boundaries, but from God's point of view, you know, what he tells us is a little bit different. So it's a refresher course, so it was for me anyways. But I had a great time, and the food was great. Crystal was great. Kirsten was great. All the girls were great. It was wonderful. We'll do it again next year.
I actually paid attention. every morning I get up now and I put a hula hoop around. What's inside that hula hoop, I can control. What's outside, I have no control. So people's opinion of me doesn't matter anymore. The only person that matters, opinion that matters to me, is God's. And God loves me for me and for who I am. And this next month, it'll be 6 years that I was handed my lifeline by Crystal. And this Bible is now falling apart. It's taped up and everything. but it's my lifeline and it's where I go now. So I want to thank Potter's Hands for everything that they've done in the past 6 years.
Anybody else?
Hi, you all know me. Been here forever. I just want to say thank you so much to Crystal. That boundary thing, I have that hoop in my head and around my waist all the time now. And wow, what a change it has made. Like, not trying to control what's out and around me anymore. As a lot of you know, I've been really struggling lately. But it's getting better. I get up every morning, I thank God, I'm getting some joy back. Thanks, Dad. And I'm not going to let him steal anything from me anymore. I'm a child of God, my past is forgiven. Amen.
Amen. Don't want to miss anybody here. Anybody else?
Me, I realize that when we have a spiritual family behind us, that when we lock our door and we need somebody to open it, help come to our help. Do you know that Crystal crawled through my window to open my door that I lock? And do you know that Jocelyn removed the lock that I was trying to open the lock on my own, and I put a little piece of wood. I thought you could push it like the old one, but this was with a key. And I broke the little wood inside, and the key would not work. And God used different people with different gift and ability. Jocelyn removed the lock. And somebody came and put a new one, and I thank God for the different gift and ability, and that when we are a child of God, everything is possible, and I give you thanks, glory, honor, and praise.
Never thought I'd help the pastor's wife break into a house before. It was a really great weekend, and you know, God has been working so much in my life that this year I was able to actually go and just minister, and that in itself was amazing, being able to be a support to the other ladies that really needed it. And in the midst of that, God has shown me how much I've grown as well. And so that's what I'm thankful for, is because I used to be an addict. I was an addict. I was a mom who was dealing with drugs. And I am now a child of God that has taken me from that addict stage over to a woman of God, a bold woman of God. And so I think that's amazing in itself. And I just love what he's doing in my life.
Amen. Thanks. Anybody else?
Okay. We're not done yet, so there might be a few of you, just think about this a second while I'm going to relay just one more little story that I heard yesterday about the women's retreat. But again, remember the question today is, what is the miracle that happened in your life? Because when you tell me the miracle, that encourages me and it reminds me, you know, how real God is. You know, God's changed your life. I know that's true for lots of you. And we got opportunity. I think we got time yet for one or two more to just say a little bit about what that is. But just yesterday when we were having our leaders meeting, Barb, who's not here right now, she said the first night, and again, like Krista said, there were some women who came who were just, they don't come to our church. They just came from the streets. Some of them had never been east of Red Deer before. And, you know, just they wanted to come to get away. And anyways, we're sitting in a circle with just a whole bunch of different people. And the question was, so what do you want to see changed in your life this week, this weekend? What do you want to see changed in your life this weekend? And this one lady I won't say who she is. She's not here today. She doesn't go to this church, but she leaned over to Barb and she said, I don't effing want to see anything happen in my life or change in my life. And she didn't just say with the F, she said the whole thing, right? I don't want anything to change in my life. But some amazing things did change. And she came around near the end of the week and she was worshiping. And, you know, I just think it's cool when God does those sorts of things. So, Ruth Ann, you come on up here. I want to hear you from up here. What is the miracle? How do we chart? How do we map these miracles and see how faithful God's been in the past?
Boy, you could go on.
I know, but I'm going to keep it short. And this is something that I didn't share in my testimony that I should have. Actually, my sister reminded me of that afterwards. She goes, I can't believe you didn't say anything about that. Actually, it was two of them. But the one that really is when I was born. The doctor had told my mom that, and my mom had already had two miscarriages by the time I came around and was told that she couldn't have any more kids. And they told her that there was no way, unless she stayed on bed rest, that I was going to make it. She started to bleed through her pregnancy with me, and she couldn't stay on bed rest. She had four other kids at home that needed taking care of, and so she just dedicated me to the Lord right there and then, and I'm here. So that ain't a miracle.
That's good. There you go. That's good. I think we're just getting warmed up here, but okay, Margaret, come on up here first. And Cheryl, you just come on up too, so you're here already. Come on up. Yep, right up here.
A long time ago, God gave me a really strong word that said, the spiritual world is more real than the physical world. And I would encourage you all to be aware of what's going on. And just quickly, two stories that come to mind. When our daughter Laura, who is 20, just about 22 now, when she was six, she was driving with Don's mom, actually, and they were going out to my parents' farm. An accident happened, and they went over an embankment. The car flipped over, and Don's mom was killed. But Laura was hanging there upside down. So she figured out how to open the window, and she knew she was close to my folks' family, or to my folks' farm. So she got up, and she started walking towards the farm. And she got lost. Anyhow, she's a little kid, and some guy out in the middle of the nowhere picked her up, took her to where she needed to go. We got a phone call and explained what happened. And I prayed, and I said, God, show me that she's going to be okay. And right away, God gave me a picture of Laura walking exactly where she would have walked down the road, and two big angels just walking right beside her. And I just thought, okay, thank you, God. We'll get packed up and we'll go. And I had peace. There was just a spirit of peace. This Christmas, a few of you guys have heard this story about Matthew, our 17-year-old son. We all went for Christmas at my father's, or at mom and dad's farm. And when all the kids, all the grandkids get together, they play hard. They go hard. They're skidooing up behind the, you know. And so anyhow, my son that's 25 and our son that's 17, they were out skidooing at night. And they know the farm really, really well. So anyhow, they went down and they were skidooing with a quad and a skidoo, and they got turned around. It was pitch black. So anyhow, they were going, okay, we got to get home here. So they were trying to find their way home, and Carter went up over this. The older son went up over an embankment to kind of look around, and then Matthew went over this little knoll, and he went down, and he went right through a barbed wire fence. And I had prayed before the weekend had started, God, would you please put your angels around these, all of us? These guys play hard. Protect them from whatever might happen. Matthew went right through that barbed wire fence, and it hit him here, here, and here. And he's got a few scars to prove. He's got a scar from this side all the way up to his ear. And I know that the angels of the Lord were around him and protected him. And I can just envision them going, okay, oh, this is a job. Trying to pull the wires. He went right through. They broke the wires, and they pulled out 4 fence posts. Like, it was really, really hard. But they came home, and the Lord, that was a miracle. The Lord saved him. So be aware of the miracles that are going on.
If you didn't hear the last part, be aware of the miracles that are going on. And if I think, just to be clear here, he wasn't cut, like cut. He just had a scrape right across his neck. So it could have been, he could have just been decapitated.
Sorry, I'm not attention seeking. I just have this amazing testimony that I had last fall. I was going to training in Florida with my work, because I'm a psychologist, so I was going to get some more awesome training. And we get to the airport, and I thought something was funny the night before. I was trying to check in online, and I couldn't. And I went, okay, that's weird. Anyway, I'll go to the airport, check in, it'll all be good. I get there. My ticket's canceled, and Victoria's isn't. So what do? I canceled everything. I said, Lord, I'm sitting in this airport. You obviously want me to go somewhere. He said, ask Vicky where she wants to go. I asked her. I said, where do you want to go, Vicky? She goes, I want to go to Bethel. Okay, let's get the tickets. Let's go. I was just wit's end, right? So away we go. We go to fly to Sacramento. Then we have to rent a car, drive up to Bethel. And I hadn't been there for 15 years. It was a long time. And I walked in there, and I went, wow, awesome. I didn't realize how much I needed the presence like it is there. It's you can't even put words into that. And we went to church at 9:30 in the morning, and we were still there by, like, it was 1 o'clock, and they worship for one full hour before anybody even goes up there. And we're worshiping, and it's awesome, and I'm like, oh God. And then I sit down, and Victoria looks at me, and she goes, Mom, you're sparkling. Oh, I said, oh, it must be from my eyeshadow. She says, oh no, you're sparkling all over. And I looked at my hands, and I went, oh my God. I turned my hands over, sparkling. So I rolled up my sleeve, because if it's coming from the sky, it's not going to be underneath, right? As far as I could pull my sleeve up, I was sparkling. We were both covered in gold dust. I looked at her, and I said, well, you're sparkling too. And then we're both sitting there, and people are looking at us laughing, because this happens lots, I guess. We're looking at her feet, because we had sandals on. It was really hot there. We were just covered, and for 3 days we were covered in gold dust. God's manifest presence. I believe it's going to happen here. I'm believing for great and mighty things for this place. Awesome God. And we've never been the same. We've never been the same. So glory to God. He just does that because he loves you, and he wants to just show up. Amen. Bless you.
Okay. All right. Maybe one more. Is there someone else who's got a story of a miracle that God did in your life? Or is this all of them? I know there's more. I know we could spend a lot more time. You want to come up? Good. Karina. Yeah, you don't want to come up. Come on up. This is really easy, right? No. Come here.
I don't know if it counts. I've had a few things in my life where I know it's from God. I don't know if it counts. One time, like you guys all see my head. I was in a barnyard, and I was like 3, and it was one of those lofts, and my brother was up top, and I went running in, and those big 16-inch like chains, he threw it over, and it landed on me, and I was out. And then I guess we went to the hospital, and they couldn't do X-rays, but I was fine. And it's just growing now, I guess. But the same year, we went to my uncle's farm, and there was a dog. And, like, apparently I was too close in the fence, and he, like, ripped half of my face off. And my mom said that there was, like, 3 beach towels that we filled with blood till we got to the hospital. They stopped counting stitches after 37 stitches. And then there was a moment with both my children that Mackenzie was climbing up a park, and she slipped and fell, and she knocked herself out. It, like, cut. She's got a scar on her head. And they had to do stitching, but God pulled through there. And then the same with my son. He hit his head really badly on a, like, he was sitting on a chain, and they had to remove rocks, like, from his skull. And I had a vision this weekend.
Okay.
Yep. It was same as Samantha's.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Tell us just a little bit about it.
We were praying in a circle, and it was with Samantha and Amanda and Barb, and we actually had the vision over Barb. I had the vision, Samantha spoke it, and then I was like, whoa. And then I told them about it, and it was just Barb walking with just her feet were anointed, and she's just glowing, and it's my first vision.
With that a little bit.
Yeah.
Thank you. Can I pray for you?
We're missing one of the biggest miracles, is that she's up here. Seriously. God is totally doing something in your life, and you know that. And there was a big breakthrough this past weekend with this girl, and we just praise God for that. Awesome. God, I thank you for this daughter. Lord, she is yours, and I just thank you, God, that you are giving her more God confidence, that you are growing in her. Lord, thank you for the miracles of her life, that you have saved her time and again. God, you have your hand on her. You love her. Mm-hmm. And I thank you that she was able to share that with us today, because that, too, is a miracle, God. You're opening her up to us and to you. And I just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.
And all the people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to switch to the other mic, okay, Jeff? You get what I'm saying, right? You understand this? This is good instruction from the psalmist that we need to look back. You need to look back at Dave's life and say, you know, you need to do that yourself sometimes. You look back, you do an inventory of your own, of Dave's life. You go, remember where I was? Remember where you were 15 years ago? Remember where you were 10 years ago, right? You're laughing, but you know what? You're not any different, so quit laughing, right? And otherwise, we go on through life as if nothing's ever changed. Nothing's ever happened in our lives. But it's when we get together and we start sharing these stories and remind ourselves, you know, where were you a couple years ago, you know, that we're reminded that God is so good. And I look back at the journey that I've been on. It hasn't been easy. It's been bumpy. There have been some pretty windy roads that I've been on. But God has been with me all along. And so when I know that's true, then when I look ahead, I know the same is going to be true for that too. He's still going to be with me. He's going to be through. And I know that some of you, and just listen to God today. I know that some of you are crying out to God for something. There's something you really want in your life. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's to be free of something. Maybe it's somebody that you're really grieving for, that you want to see healed or taken care of. I don't know. I know, though, that God wants you to hear this today, that he has not abandoned you. He has not forgotten you. And as faithful, here's a message, as faithful as he has been, as faithful as he has been from the beginning of this journey with you, he will be faithful with you for whatever years, whatever days you have left in this journey. He will be. And he will give you. Linda, you're waving at me. You can't stop, right? Okay.
I got when I was like 20. 21, I got pregnant out of wedlock. I have a boy. And then I met Cliff. I have another boy. But wanting to have a girl. Every time I got pregnant, I want a girl. Like, that's all I want is just a girl. And then I'm going to step. And God kept giving us a boy. And then when I told Tristan that I was pregnant again, and then Tristan said, we don't want any more brothers. So I said, like, pray, you know? Because I'm thinking, like, I want another boy. I don't want another boy. I want a girl. And I think God gave us the desire of our heart. And God gave us Alita. Yeah. And it's like, it's your, God, in every way, he never abandoned me. He never forget me. He always gave me the strength to go on and on and on and on, even how hard it is, you know? And no matter what, like the desire that we want, in our heart, God will never abandon us. Like, I got like five boys before I got a girl. But that's my desire. And God never, ever leave me with
that. Amen. It's got to be quick, okay, Marylise?
God, the miracle for providing. I was at a camp living water, and usually the children arrive on Monday by bus, but those girls arrive on Saturday night, and was special people who brought them to us, and they were in my cabin. And I said, God, and I said, we need some Bible. I said, it will be so nice to have some Bible that we can all have the same Bible and we can have Bible study together. And we get on our knee and said, we'll pray that God provide for a Bible for us. And the next day, God gave us all Bibles. He provide for the whole cabin to have a Bible. And I give him thanks, glory, honor, and praise.
And all the people said, amen. And you know what? Well, this is what happens, you see? This is good. Once you start, then things get loosened up a little bit. That can be good, that can be bad, but it's a good thing. We get loosened up, we start, because you start thinking, you start remembering, you go, yeah, see, here's another one. Okay, see, this is what I'm, it makes the point.
Hallelujah. So I want to thank God so much. The first miracle that I'm alive, and I'm in radio. So I want to thank God, because he make a way so I can come back and read here. I lived in Calgary, and we have been having family problems, like 5 years, I and my wife and my kids. And I come and read here in a miracle way, and I came to claim my family back after 5 years. May God bless you.
What's your name?
My name is Fortin Kalonji.
At Fortin?
Yeah.
Fortin. This job is getting harder and harder. God, I pray for a Fortin. And I pray, Lord, for his family. And I don't know the man, but we're beginning to get to know him. And I pray for his family that you will reunite them, that you will restore. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I want to just, there is one last thing I want to talk about, and then we're going to sing a song that's a warfare song. Back to Psalm 77. I promise not to be long. But there's something cool that happens in Psalm 77, right at the end of it, when David talks about the sea. He talks about the Red Sea, and remember how we talked about this earlier, that he's remembering, and he's saying, hey, now when I remember what you did with Moses and how you defeated my enemies, and he says this, so the waters saw you, O God, the waters saw you and writhed, the very depths were convulsed, the clouds poured down water, the skies resounded with thunder, your arrows flashed back and forth, your thunder was heard in the whirlwind, your lightning lit up the world, the earth trembled and quaked, and then he says this, your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. And I want you to just think about that a minute. This is how he ends Psalm 77. He says, you led us, God. I know you did. You brought us through the way. You made the ground dry so that we could actually walk, right? You parted the Red Sea. But, he says, even when you did that, I did not see your footprints. Some of you have heard that poem before about footprints. You know that poem, right? You hear it at funerals a lot. And it says in that poem, it's a pretty popular poem, just the last part of it, he says, and then he whispered, this is what God whispers, my precious child, I love you. I will never leave you, never, ever. During your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. You say amen? You only saw one set of footprints, and it was then that I carried you. And Crystal and I shared this a couple of weeks ago when I told her I was dealing with Psalm 77, and she said, you know, that really reminds me of that poem, The Footprints. It's got to be based on this psalm. And she is so wrong about that. And I don't mind saying that. And let me explain why. Because that's exactly the opposite, actually, of what the psalmist is saying. He's not saying that I saw your footprints and you were carrying me. I know that's a nice poem, and maybe that's appropriate for some other times. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying, even though you were with me all along, I didn't see you. I did not see your footprints. I didn't see the evidence that you were there. And that's a hard thing, but I want to end on that note today, that you may not see God's footprints, not the way you want to see them. You know he's there, but you don't know, you don't see the evidence. You might not see his fingerprint. You might not see the forensic evidence. There might not be a video recording of how God was with you when you were, you know, going through all the hard things that you're going through. His footprints are not the footprints in the sand, because that's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, I don't see your footprints. Those are, by the way, if they're God's footprints, they're probably not size 10. You know, they're probably a whole lot bigger than that. They're probably the size of the Grand Canyon. So if you're going to see God's footprints, I think that they're going to be a little different than my footprints, but that's a whole other sermon, a whole other time. But what I want to end today on is this point, is that what we look back to today, you and me who are Christians, you and I who have given our lives to Jesus, and he's changed us and he's delivered us, we don't look, I love the story of the Red Sea. I think it's a great story. I love how God split the waters. I love how he provided a way where there was no way. And that's a great story. And for thousands of years, God's people would look back at that story and they would tell that story, like I said a few times already, from father to son and from that son to his son. But we have an even better story than that. Because we've got a story, it's not about the Red Sea, but it's a story about a resurrected Jesus. And you want to talk about the power that we have? We got a God who's so powerful that he can raise the dead. We have a God who's so powerful. And again, I love the story of the Red Sea, but that's not where I focus on. When I look back and I want to think about all the wonderful things that God has done, and when I look back and I think of how powerful God has been in my life, or when I look back and I think about the enemies that he is going to deliver me from, or that he has delivered me from already, I look back at an empty tomb. And that's where the power is. The power, it's great about the sea, but it's so much better to celebrate that my Jesus is alive. Right? Yeah, you can clap. My Jesus is alive. And it's time that we start talking about the power of the resurrection. The same God who is able to part that Red Sea is a God who is able to tear the temple curtain from top to bottom. I want to look at that today. I love the Red Sea, but I love the picture of that temple and the curtain being split. And that now, because that's happened, that barrier between me and God has been removed. I can step through it and I can have a personal relationship. Amen? That's the power of God. And there's power in the resurrection. We need to start talking about that more. Amen. If you want to talk about the power of the Red Sea, that's great. I like that. But let's get on to something even better. The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he's alive. For me, the answer to the question, the big question, where is God, is this, just simply this. He's alive. Amen? He's alive. Matthew tells us, here's the power. Matthew tells us that when Jesus was crucified, and when he gave up his spirit and he died, that there was an earthquake and hundreds of graves were opened. And the dead were raised, and they got up and they went and showed themselves to many people. And I think that's amazingly powerful. Don't you? So if you're here today and you're thinking, I just need to hear about a powerful God. I need to hear about a God who can take care of my situation. I need to hear about a God who's going to hear my prayers. I'm here to tell you today that your God, through Jesus Christ, has all the power to do everything that he needs to do for you. All of the power. And he's proven it. He's proven it by rolling the stone away. See, we could spend a lot of time talking about how he's rolled the sea. He split the sea into dry land. We can talk about that, but I think we need to talk more about how he's rolled the stone away. And that Jesus stepped out of that empty tomb and he said, I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. Your enemies? Oh, it's the same message that he had for the Israelites. Your enemies, you don't need to worry about them. Quit worrying about them. And for sure, don't you become enemies of each other, because that's the last thing you need to do. You have some real enemies. Let's focus on them. And you don't need to worry about them, because I have power over your enemies. Amen? That's called resurrection power. And I'm just believing and I'm feeling that God wants us to cry out more and more for that resurrection power to be shown among us. Right? I mean, if he's alive, and he is, right? If he's alive, and he is, then Jesus, show that power. Amen. And there may not be any forensic evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. There may not be a video that shows it happening. We may not have the DNA. Some people think they might have it with the Shroud of Turin or whatever, but whatever. The bottom line is we believe this by faith. Right? We believe this by faith. It's just like the Israelites had to believe the story too, that the God's people, that they were allowed to go across. They believed it by faith. And so today, we believe this by faith. And we may not have been there to see the actual resurrection of Jesus, but I'm telling you this, we can still see the power of his resurrection every single day. And that's my prayer today. The power of the resurrection of Jesus to free people, because that's what it's all about. Setting us free from our addiction, setting us free from our anger, setting us free from our debt, setting us free from ourselves. Amen? Come on, you can join in this. Pretend like you're part of it. There you go. There's power. There's power in the resurrection of Jesus. Would you get the kids to come? I want the kids in here for this part, too. So, Crystal, would you get the little children? We're going to do some warfare as we end. We believe that we can do that through worship. I was reading in Psalm 149. We got to proclaim this. We need to proclaim that Jesus is alive. He lives. He lives. And because of that, I am alive. I've got life in me. It's only possible through Jesus Christ. Amen? So, and again, this is maybe going to sound a little bit weird, but we're going to do the macaroni box thing. My wife thought I was crazy yesterday when we went to Superstore. But these things make really good rattling boxes. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive. Okay. So if you think that was a weird church, you're probably right. I'm going to have the kids come. We're going to end with a song today. Oh, I was going to tell you Psalm 49. Psalm 49 says that we should come to God with the praise of God in our mouth and with a two-edged sword in our hands. The praise of God in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hands. So, and let me just give you one more quick example. Remember Gideon? Okay, quit rattling those boxes. Remember Gideon? When he went to war with the 300, we talked about that a few weeks ago, that he had only 300 to go to battle with. They took jars, and they praised God, and when they went to war, they took the jars, and they broke them on the ground. And by doing so, it was an act of war. It was a standing up against the enemy, saying, we're not going to stand for this anymore. Amen? Okay.
Where's the kid? There we go.
Okay, the excitement is mounting. It's going to wait a second until our children come. These are the days of Elijah, this song says, declaring the word of the Lord. Come on in, kids. Come on up to the front. Come on up to the front. And some of the... Let's all stand up. Let's stand up. I'm going to invite you today. I'm going to encourage you not to just stay seated there. I think there's still some macaroni boxes. You can clap your hands. You can clap your hands. You can sing loud. You can worship God. Amen. Let's go. Come on up. Come on up. Here we go.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord.
Shining like the sun, at
clap it up.
Woo!
Give it a shout.
Woo-hoo! Woo! Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Woo!
Behold, he comes.
Behold, he comes. Riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. That trumpet call, lift your voice. Hear a jubilee, out of Zion. Like Jehovah, there's no God 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 like Jehovah. Like Jehovah, behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, hear a jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
All right. Thank you, Lord. And we're not done. So, Chad, you got to get up here. Linda, you got to get up here. Marilise, you got to get up here. Some of you guys are worshiping, so let's come. And more of you are worshiping. I'm not trying to point out people who aren't worshiping, but let's do this even better. Is that okay? You don't need to stand there. You don't need to be behind a chair. Worship God. Worship God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
All right. You know what? One day, maybe very soon, we're going to be with all the Christians from all time in heaven.
Amen.
And even the Baptists are going to be dancing and singing.
Hallelujah.
All those who call on the name of the Lord. Here we go. Let's just worship him. Let the freedom of the Lord just fill you and move you.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. No, these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness. We are the voice in the desert, crying, preparing the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, hear a jubilee, out of Zion. Are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as
right now.
And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of,
yes God, yes God,
the fields are as wide in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring shining like the sun. At trumpet call, lift your voice, hear a jubilee, out of Zion's hill sound.
Behold, he comes.
Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At trumpet call, lift your voice, hear a jubilee, out of Zion's hill.
God.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
Come on, Jay.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. God like Jehovah. There's no 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 God like Jehovah. Behold, He comes, riding like the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, hear a jubilee, out of Zion's hills. And behold, behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, hear a jubilee, out of Zion's hills. Riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, lift your voice, hear a jubilee, out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Here we go. No God.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, hear a jubilee, out of Zion's hill, salvation.
One more time.
Behold, He comes, shining on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, hear a jubilee, out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He lives. He lives.
Amen.
He lives. Praise God. Okay, take that excitement, take that passion, take that life, and change the world. He's given you the authority to do that. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. God give you His peace. Amen.
Amen.
Who breaks the power? Sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. Thank you. above.